Welcome, everybody, to our Now What community call. This is Laura Berman Fortgang speaking. I'm the author of Now What, 90 Days to New Life Direction. And we do these calls just about quarterly. Anyone is welcome. You can be working with one of our coaches. You could be doing the book on audio on your own. You could just maybe have seen this advertised on Facebook and decided, you know, you're going through a career transition and you're curious, so you wanted to be here. All of it is great. And a lot of our authorized facilitators come on the call as well. Every year, actually starting October 11th, if there's any coaches interested on the call in joining our training, October 11th, we start our 10-week facilitator training course, which allows you to learn this system and use it with clients. So if you're curious about that, go to nowwhatcoaching.com. Or if you're curious about anything we do with Now What, go to nowwhatcoaching.com. So the purpose of tonight is to take live callers' questions, maybe do some live coaching, and some people who knew they couldn't be here wrote in questions to me, so I will answer those. Let me start off with a little more background on Now What, and I don't know if you know my story, but I came to coaching 25 years ago, which makes me feel old, but I was a mere tot, and I was one of the early adopters of life coaching, one of the first 16 people to go through Coach University, and hi, Linda, welcome to the call. So I was one of the first 16 people to go through Coach University. Before I was even finished with my training, I became a teleclass leader and then the director of training for Coach University. And the same 16 people were the founders of the International Coach Federation, which now is in 80 countries and representing tens of thousands of coaches and is the largest body that exists to put some kind of credentialing to the coaching profession. So I certainly had the ups and downs, the joys and troubles of being an early adopter of coaching. People would ask me, what team, what sport, are you a soccer mom, what are you? And now coaches complain that there's a million coaches and how do you make yourself different? But I do bring all these years of experience to you tonight. I stopped counting how many clients I've worked with. It's in the thousands and tens of thousands of hours. And tonight, and everything we do tonight is based on Now What, 90 Days to a New Life Direction, which the third edition came out in 2015 with some new exercises and new bells and whistles. So, without further ado, let me see who is up for asking a question tonight about their scenario. So, who'd like to go first? Just say your name and where you're from and what you want to know.
Linda from Michigan.
Hi, Linda from Michigan.
Hi.
What's going on with you?
I need to find a new career direction, but I chose a major and did 20 years of teaching and did not get a degree in what I'm interested in.
Okay, and so you've been teaching, and what are you interested in?
Organizing, video production, photography, writing.
Probably none of which require a degree. None of them. And here's the thing. I mean, one of my core beliefs about this is that nothing you've ever done is a waste. Okay? And nothing you've ever done can't be leveraged into something else. So, you know, what is your scenario with teaching? Are you retired? Or have you left already?
I did some part-time work doing something different, and right now I'm unemployed at this very moment.
Okay, good. A whole new land of opportunity. And how urgent is making money? I mean, of course, we all want to make money, but it's like, okay, oh my gosh, I'm going to be broke in a month, or I could be okay for a little while.
I have someone actually. Well, I'm selling my home and getting some profit from it, so I'll have a little bit for a little while.
Great. All right. So of the things you've mentioned, are you dabbling? Have you said, you know, in your best of, if I could wave my magic coaching wand, which one would you want to have be the one that works out?
The writing one is important to me, and like video production, there is a 1 year course that I could take, and at that one end of the 11 months, I could actually know exactly how to, you know, edit video, take video, blog, do some writing, all that together. But the writing in itself is probably the most interesting to me.
Okay, and what are your goals around writing? Do you want to write a novel, or are you setting yourself up to be an expert of some kind?
I probably would like to write nonfiction only, and I have the title of my first book here.
Okay.
He Lied, I Lived.
All right.
Because I found out my husband was having a double life for 20 years, so.
Whew. That's deep. All right. So nonfiction as in memoir?
Like that
or
would be probably...
Or nonfiction as in how to.
About a, you know, how to more, how to.
Okay. And when you talk about video production, is that connected to the book idea or is that a separate thing?
Like one thing I want to do with video production is go around the country and interview women that have been betrayed and make a documentary about it.
All right. So they are connected.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, you know, in the just in the quick bit that you're telling me, it's going to take a while to be able to monetize either one of those things.
Yeah, I'm not even sure. Like, they might just be hobbies, so I just might do
right.
something else.
Well, let's not call it a hobby. Let's call it a passion project.
Okay.
How does that sound?
I like that better.
And passion projects can turn into a living, and they can turn into, you know, something that brings you opportunity to make money, but it's not a short-term thing, usually. You know, you're going to have to finance a documentary, you're going to, and then writing a book takes time, then you have to get it published, et cetera, et cetera. So, also, now I'm going into my expertise a little bit, in the sense that if you want to write something that is about a topic that, you know, is helping other people, you also have to be able to get people to know about you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyone wanting to publish a book who's listening tonight, you know, I remember asking my very first editor, I said, okay, now I've had this opportunity and all my friends are going to want to have me introduce them to you, and, you know, what are you looking for? And he said, and this still holds true today, like, it doesn't matter how good someone's idea is. All an agent or a publisher wants to know is, can you sell a book?
Nice.
So to sell a book, you need to have a platform. Okay, so a platform means building an audience. So even while you're writing your book, you might start blogging or hanging out at websites for women in the scenarios you want to address, getting known, starting a Facebook page or a mailing list, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, then you'd be able to say, as you wrote your book, and if you're thinking of going with trying to get an agent or a publisher, you can say, you know, I have 5,000 people following me on Facebook right now.
Right.
They want to, right, they want to see that you touch people and have a, you know, up, they call it a platform, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Then again, you know, you don't have to do any of that. You could just do it because it's a passion project and not put any kind of business around it. However, that means having some kind of short-term way to make a living. Could you substitute teach?
I despise it, but I can, yes. What do I really feel?
How do you really feel? Right. So, you know, okay, well, we don't want you to despise it. But it's just looking at, you know, what do you have available to you right now that can make you money while
you're... I can tutor for more per hour. I can, you know,
right.
tutor math.
Right.
But then that takes a bit to get people in a row to make the most for the day. So, you know, substitute teaching, something I could do a few days. I could add tutoring in there, or nannying, or, you know, house cleaning, or something like that, a service.
Or organizing, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right, I have a friend who just is an organizing freak, and she just, like, you know, now she started to get people to pay her to do it. It's awesome.
Right.
You know, so there are lots of ways, if you think creatively, to make money while you fuel your passion project. And the thing about being a writer is you have to just make the time to write. Sitting in the seat and staying there is, even famous writers will tell you how hard that is to do.
Yes.
You know, that's the key. So I know, you know, when I wrote my first book, it was 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because I had no kids and I could. And I still didn't produce anything. I'd, you know, eat again, go to the laundry room, did nothing in 8 hours. Then as I grew to have more and more children with my books, I found that 4 a.m. to 7 a.m. That's all the time I had. I wrote. If it stunk, I came back and fixed it the next day. So you have to find, you know, what's going to work for you. My sixth book, I hired a friend of mine to be my writing coach, and she said, just write 500 words a day, which is not a lot. So I'd write 1,500 a day. So you just have to find what's going to be that motivator.
Right.
And do it. So, I mean, we could talk about this all night.
Yes.
There's lots of pieces of this. But
Thank you.
This short conversation, what do you what's opened up for you, if anything? What do you see as possible?
Just out of what you said, maybe for us, you're saying that, like what, so what time to write, or I'm sorry, what's your question exactly?
So what do you get out of what we just talked about? What becomes something you are willing to take action on or know you can do?
I started 3 private blogs, so I could continue blogging and make them more public.
Great.
And I could, like there's a website that is for betrayed women that I could tell them about. One of my blogs is for those women. It's called Shattered Nest.
Oh, so you've already started.
Yeah, I've uploaded pictures and I've done some poetry on it and some encouragement.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Great.
Yeah, and then I could start that book. I mean, the title came to me, and it would be about kind of how you get through the trial of someone lying and you're trying to live, and it would be probably like. 100, like each page is just be something I learned, like when I cry, my nose gets big, and then the next page would be something more like, that's not a great example, but you know, just each page would be actually a few sentences of coping or noticing what you learn about grief or whatever.
Right. Great. So I'd say try not to have 3 blogs. Bring them into one.
Yeah, two are really workable, and only the one is about betraying the betrayed wife. The other one is just some faith-based things that I do.
Okay, well that could come into your other one. You know what I mean? Like that's how you cope.
Oh yeah. I think choosing a time, like you were saying, I probably making an appointment and trying to keep that appointment for myself is pretty crucial. And I'll try to think about what would be best for me at this time that would be helpful to make that commitment to myself.
Great. And that goes for anyone listening tonight that is trying to build something on the side or have a passion project on the side. It's like, if you don't schedule it, it's not going to happen. And you know that.
Yes.
You know,
thank
it's like,
you.
And don't break the date with yourself. Like, be your first love.
Right. Like, if you have an appointment for the doctor, you just can't say yes to lunch at that time or whatever. You have that appointment
right.
for the doctor. You got to make that appointment with yourself.
Perfect. Perfect.
Thank you. Awesome
Super.
Advice. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in. So short-term, get the money covered in ways that, you know, don't hurt but are immediate, and be grateful for them, and start building your other stuff on the side. And, you know, in 6 months, who knows where you'll be. Super. And this goes for everyone, too. Like, sometimes when you have to, you know, like, you don't love substitute teaching, but when you know why you're doing it, you know, it's like, okay, it's a means to an end. You can sometimes push through.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you. That covers so many areas. All right. So anyone else live on the call tonight who has a question about your scenario or career transition in general?
Hi.
Hi, Laura. This is CD.
Hi, BD. BD was on the call first. So who is the woman's name?
Stephanie?
The woman, Stephanie. Okay, so would you hold on, Stephanie? You know, I know we heard you first. BD was the first one on the call. So let's, BD, we're going to throw it to you, and then we're throwing it to Stephanie. All right, BD.
All right, CD, sorry.
but thank you.
CB,
I really appreciate it.
Like car and
CD,
like boy?
Like a compact disc. Like CD.
Oh, CD. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Right, go.
Got it. Yeah, so what I'm struggling with, I love your book, by the way. I think recommended it to 10 or 15 people at this point.
Oh, well, thank you.
I've been in the midst of it. You're welcome. I love it. I've been in the midst of this transition for a while and read just about every resource I can get my hands on, and the exercises have just been invaluable at figuring out the who I am piece. So I was at a job where I was literally walking in every day saying, this is not who I want to be, and this is not, I'm not able to be who I am in this job. And so then reading your book, it really connected. And the insights are very helpful. And where I guess I'm bogged down or struggling a little bit is I've got a better picture of who I am. I'm someone who encourages and influences others to do good, to live their lives well, to sort of change things that they're doing and improve their lives. But I don't, I'm trying to take that and then find a package that marries it with my past skills. So I've been an attorney for almost a decade now in litigation. And I really don't like litigation. I don't like the high conflict, the stress. There are a lot of things about it that I just don't enjoy. So I'm trying to figure out how to move forward, but also honor or use some of that background if I can.
Absolutely. All right, great. So let's... Oh, goodness gracious. I'm sorry. There's a medical emergency in my family. This is the second time I've held a call. Hold on one sec.
Sure.
All right, I don't have to get off the call right now, but I'm going to stay away from doing calls. 2 weeks ago, I'm on a call, and I had to go. Here's another one. Everyone's okay. All right, focusing on you. All right, so lawyer. All right, so here's the thing. We need to open up lawyer, like in the book, I talk about the egg, right? This is chapter two, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, identity, the identity piece. And... and lawyer, I know so many unhappy lawyers. Just so everybody, you know, unhappy lawyers. So many. It's awful. It's the industry itself. You know, it's not always the work. But when we pull that apart, when we take off the shell of lawyer, the salary, the going to school, the whatever, and we pull that apart, like, what are the hard and soft skills that you have? Can you name some of them?
Great. Yeah. So. Just analyzing, learning, debating, communicating, being able to articulate things, advise clients. I really love the consulting and advising aspect of being a lawyer. And just a great breadth of knowledge about litigation now, in particular, in my state, but also just generally. I've practiced all over the nation. Even have some media skills as a result of it. So a combo of all of those things, I guess, is really what I've gained through 8 years of law, and then just the wisdom that comes with navigating those high conflict situations.
Right. And what are some of the higher values that come out for you? In law, is it about justice? Is it about right or wrong? Is it about correcting wrongs? Like what? What's the more idealistic side that may have drawn you to it, or became a result of it?
Sure, and you're dead on. I was drawn into it because I love law, I love policy, love economics, thinking about all of these things and working on all of those things. And I've worked on those some, but the idealistic side would be, yes, trying to encourage or change the law and influence things. I thought initially doing that through the legal system would be the way to go, and I've tried that route a couple of times, and it just is more frustrating than not. And I've come around to realize that actually to influence and change and do a lot of the things I enjoy doing, it's going to be probably outside of the legal system is the more effective way to do it, rather than frustrating myself through bringing
right.
a case, change a rule or change a law and change things. It's incremental, it's slow, and it's backwards looking, and so it's really not that effective.
Right. So the beauty is you have this background is just so valued in our society, you know what I mean? Like, you've been there, done that, you have it. It's trained you how to think. It's trained you how to create an argument. It's trained you how to write and communicate. And that can be put in another package so easily.
Great.
Yeah, I mean, you know, now we need to name some. You know, is it politics? Is it, you know, not necessarily being a politician, but there's, you know, is it working for a commission that changes something? Is it working in, you know, in nonprofit that changes something? You know, have you thought about, you know, is there an inkling of where you'd want to put it? Whether you think it's possible or not?
So I looked at politics. That was actually the first thing, one of the first things I examined. And just financially, it's a life calling, but it's a calling where you make very, very little money. And I do have to make something.
Of course.
And in fact, I have friends in the business, and if you need to make money that badly, sometimes it leads politicians to make choices. I see this in the headlines all the time. And I don't want to be in that position. And it just, I wasn't convinced, especially where I'm located, that I could do that and make a current career of it. But down the road, maybe? And
well,
I actually came out of a nonprofit, so that was where I was. But it was a legal nonprofit, so it was that.
Right. You know, and all nonprofits are not necessarily meaning you have to make no money. Some very healthy nonprofits, you know, where even at an executive director level, there are possibilities. I ran for office briefly this year and learned so much of the process. And one of the things that I learned was what an industry there is around campaigns. You know, so the advising side of campaigns is way more lucrative than being the candidate yourself.
Right.
But, you know, but if you get behind candidates that you believe in and you're fighting for that person to be able to represent, you know, then it isn't necessarily, you know, it can be lucrative and it can be a great way to be able to create change by being a champion and not having to be the candidate yourself. So that's a thought. But then
it gets down to
what do you want to change? You know, like I have this conversation with clients a lot, and I often use the phrase, what calls you and what galls you? You know, what interests you and calls you as a big idea bigger than yourself that you want to touch? And the other is, what galls you? Like, what just makes you so mad that you have to do something about it?
Yes. So this is one thing. The galls you part really stood out when I did your exercise looking back through life history. So I just cannot stand poor leadership, bad leaders. I will, in a very respectful way, challenge or fight the authorities in a host of settings. And when I pulled off all the examples on my life story, I mean, it was amazing. It was like, oh, I did that here, all the way back to junior high. This is just something that is a part of who I am. I really chafe and don't like poor leadership and have no problem challenging it and fighting it and trying to change it.
Right, so there's lots of possibilities there. I mean, that could be consulting. That could be, becoming a speaker on leadership. You know, working with different teams, different groups, helping certain organizations work more efficiently. You know, and consulting companies are open to other people who have other forms of expertise, and you don't have to build a reputation of your own. You're kind of, you know, getting your experience through another firm, and someday, who knows, you might find yourself wanting to go out on your own. So these are just some ideas. You know, granted, we're not working together going deep, but so the way to make that list of possible places is to tap your imagination, you know, which is not easy for lawyers because they like black and white, very concrete. Give it to me concrete. Don't give me crazy woo-woo ideas. But this is chapter 6 of Now What. You make a list of everything, you know, like just crazy lists, like, you know, someone might have going to clown school on there,
right.
You know, just really crazy, anything you could do with your skill set or wish you could do, it doesn't even have to be realistic. And then you start looking for the patterns. Oh, all these things seem to add up to these top three things, and you narrow it down, or you go, you know, I wouldn't do this, but I would do that. And then you go on what I call the research project, where you start, you know,
mm-hmm.
who do you know, who knows somebody, who knows somebody, and you just try to get an idea of what, you know, what's the real spiel, you know, because there's the fantasy version, and then there's the real deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, use those networking opportunities. And I find that traction starts to occur. You know, it's like, ooh, you know, this is really interesting. Or one person leads you to the next person. And actually, for everybody listening, the rules of going out on those informative meetings is never leave without one or two more people to speak to. So thank you so much for your time. Who else do you think I should be speaking to? And the more specific you could be by the time you go out networking, the easier it becomes. So you're saying, you know, I'm looking for someplace where I could use my skills to help other leaders, or I'm looking for, you know, to meet people in the consulting industry, or do you know anyone at such and such a firm? Right, so the more specific you can be, the more successful this kind of networking becomes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, in fact, I've been doing that on politics and on some of these other ideas. I thought about becoming a financial advisor for a while, and after the research, decided not to pursue that path. But, yeah, so I guess I just need to continue doing it.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, you're a smart guy. You're like collecting your evidence here, right?
Right, right. I just keep ruling everything out.
Okay. So, does that give you some next steps?
I think so. I think the consulting thing in particular, I hadn't thought about leadership consulting or some of the political consulting I haven't yet explored, but that was on the list.
Great.
Speaking on leadership, working with teams, that kind of thing, that really wasn't on the radar, so I really want to explore that.
Cool. Well, I don't know where you are in the country, but I'm in the New York area, and you know, if I know people, you know, tap me, like give me an email and be like, hey, I was on your call. Remember you said blah blah blah, and I'll say, you know, call this one, call that one. If I, you know, because I know a couple people in the political area that I can guide you to, and I know a couple people in consulting firms that at least can give you some guidance.
Great. That would be wonderful. Absolutely.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you for calling in, and I'm delighted that you're out telling people about this book. And my curiosity wants to know how you found it in the first place.
Your TED Talk, actually.
Yay!
Which is fabulous.
I was going to say that.
Yes, and I've been sharing that all over, too, but I say, really, just go see the book. Here's some encouragement and some inspiration, and then go buy the book because you really need to do the homework.
You do, and that's, you know, that's what separates the girls from the women and the men from the boys is, are you willing to do the work? But when I wrote that book, it was in, you know, every book I wrote is in earnest, my attempt to replace myself. Like, if I could give you what I know and put it in an order and a form that can work for you without me, here you go. Work on it.
Yes. Absolutely
well, thank
wonderful.
You. Thank you.
I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. And, you know, any of the people you gave the book to, let them know to sign up for our newsletter, because I do this kind of call, you know, at least three times a year, if not quarterly, because I know there are people out there using the book and not, you know, having one of our coaches. So we want you to get the help. And there's over 400,000 people who have watched we've had over 400,000 views on the TED Talk. And, boy, do I just want to be able to find all of them and be like, what can we do for you?
That's
wonderful.
Sharing
it. I appreciate that for everybody.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
All right. Keep in touch. Now, Stephanie, I didn't forget about you. Hi. Hi. What's going on?
Well, I'm going through your book. It's great. I feel the same way as your last caller. It's, you know, it's a lot of work, and work that you have to, like, kind of, like, sometimes breathe in.
Yes.
because it brings out a lot of things that you have forgotten. So right now I'm doing my life story, and I personally work in the entertainment business, and, you know, I feel like I have two brains, because even though I was always a very creative person, and I went to school for creative a major, I ended up doing a type of work that wasn't creative at all. But I'm really good at it. And I keep getting, like, sucked into, like, you know, the next step forward into a more and more technical type of job. I'm currently working in post-production. And, but I come home and I'm, you know, I'm writing and I'm taking classes, like creative classes, and doing my own films on the side. And, yeah, so I'm just, like, right now, you know, like, looking at my life story, I'm seeing that. And I guess my question is, like, you know, how do... Like, I guess I have the fear of, like, right now I'm stable in what I'm doing, but I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you go about, like, moving forward or even imagining a life where you could possibly do something creative for money? Like, I just, I'm having a hard time, like, you know, kind of visualizing that.
All right. So tell me, what's the dream? What was the dream version, or what is the dream that you have now?
I would like to direct and write, like, you know, script writing. But at the same time, I'm also very interested in, like, psychology and other things. But that's, like, kind of, like, I would like to... I'm always been in entertainment, so I would like to maybe explore other things as well. But, yeah, the dream is right now is that... you know, directing and writing.
Cool. All right, so the psychology thing is not unrelated to directing and writing.
Right.
Because, you know, you've got to know people and dialogue and emotions and motivations in order to write interesting characters and stories and, right, and to direct actors.
Right.
So... You know, and also, I was in show business for many years, and we all know everybody wants to be in show business. So,
right.
You know, it's hard to get that lucky break, hard to make your mark. But like any artist, you have to think like an artist. Yeah, you have your job, and I know you right now you feel like it could be killing your soul, but what could bring your soul back is to know that you're also working on your art. As the first person, Carol, that spoke tonight, Linda, I'm sorry,
right.
Spoke tonight, right? You know, so, you know, when I was an actor, and I use this motto with every client, is one thing a day towards the dream. Everyone who's listening, one thing a day towards the dream. It's all it takes. You know, you think you have to, like, write the screenplay so you can never make the time to write a whole screenplay. No, one thing a day. Today I'm going to write 500 words on my screenplay. Tomorrow I'm going to call Sundance, which, by the way, Sundance has a women's film, I don't know if I should call it a training, but they, have you heard of their program?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, have you applied for that?
I applied for the screenwriting, but I think for that one you might need to get nominated, or, like, I think it's not an open submission.
Okay.
But I have to double check.
Okay. And if you need to be nominated, then you need to hang out where other writers are. You know,
right.
where do they hang out? How do you get to know them? What school do you have to show up at? You know, so I was a coach for Sundance, and I was a coach for TED Fellows. And, you know, so I know there are programs out there that are sponsored that, you know, there's some obstacles in the sense that you may have to be somewhere and you have to keep your job, et cetera. But, you know, what's Ava's last name? DuVernay?
Yes.
Yeah, she came out of that Sundance training.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I applied to the AFI Direction Women's Workshop.
Great.
So I'll wait in December to find out if something comes out of that.
Apply to all of them.
Yeah.
You know, because that's how you get started. You know, learning from others, having people who support you and want the best from you. And those things give you networking opportunities that, you know, just walking around L.A. on your own or wherever you are, you know, isn't as easy to do. But I worked in the last two, I don't know how many years, within the last 3 years, I worked with a screenwriter who didn't even live in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Screenwriter and director. She had already had one nice film at Sundance, but she came to me through Sundance and now is directing for TV and film as for a living, for real. And it just was a matter of stick-to-itiveness, you know, and she had to do other work. You know, she didn't have full time to devote to being an artist. But as an artist who has to work, you have to make the commitment of one thing a day towards the dream. Make a scary phone call. Spend hours writing those applications for every women in film opportunity there is. Network. You know, who is somebody that you want to meet and start playing the 6 degrees of separation game. There's, you know, name a name you want to meet. And start asking everybody. So name somebody.
That I want to meet. With Romano. That would be, yeah, she's a director DP.
But say her name again.
Reed Romano. She's such a good person.
So spell the first name for me. I'm just not here.
It's Reed, R-E-E-D.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Romano. Yeah, she's a DP turned director. And she's doing really interesting work. For Ava DuVernay, but I mean, there's so many women directors out there. Also, those are like two of my top. Of course, Shonda Rhimes, but you know, she's like in LA too.
All right. So, who do you know who knows somebody who knows somebody?
I know somebody that might know Reed Romano, like not her, but So, yeah, I guess I have somebody that I know.
Right. So the power comes in the asking.
Okay.
You know, and not feeling like, oh, but I have to be ready, worthy, and, you know, have five films under my belt before I can ask. Not true. And I also find that once you take steps to help yourself, it's amazing what starts to take root and transpire. You know, you may get a no over here, but then something else happens over there. You know? So, it's a matter of asking.
How do you suggest, like, do you ask for, like, an informational interview, or do you just... I mean, I feel like you're asking for too much. I don't know.
Right. Look, it's a tough... Every individual that you approach is different. You know, they're not going to be like, hey, you know, I have all the time in the world. Sure, come hang out and ask me a million questions. You know, they may not. But, you know, and asking people to lunch or coffee, they don't have time for that. It might be helpful to say, you know, introduce yourself formally and, you know, tell me about yourself. Would you be willing to let me send you 5 questions via email?
Okay.
Or, you know, or have 10 minutes on the phone. And just be very respectful of that time. Like, if someone does give you 10 minutes, it's 10 minutes. But what you find is once you get people talking about themselves, they become much more generous. It's just breaking through, you know, the gate. But I can tell you for me, like, I get, you know, coaches and people who want to write books and stuff writing to me, and young people will want my time because, you know, I saw your TED Talk. But you will be amazed at how unprofessional people can be, like, hey, can I call you? It's like, who are you? You know, you've got to present yourself professionally, make no apologies for how new you might be. But, you know, when I was on the Oprah show, I kept saying to myself, respect seniority, but expect equality. Respect seniority, but expect equality. Like, I, you know, I'm not less than, but I have to respect the position. You know, and it went great. So that's where you come from. And the warmer the call can be, meaning who do you know who knows somebody, and you can use a name, the easier it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's very helpful, because I never thought of it that way. Yeah.
Great. So, it's, you know, it's baby steps, but that's how you do it. And, you know, I remember having a guy who hated his job, and so to get by, he really wanted to write for TV, so what he did to get by was he was writing a sitcom in the office about the people in the office. And that helped him get through. You know, every time he got bumped out, he'd just go to that other file and start writing his sitcom. So keep your screenplay close by.
Yeah, definitely. I guess for me, it's just that, you know, I have, like, a left and a right brain, and my job is very technical, and I feel more like I'm an operator, pretty much. Mm-hmm. I'm not. So, but I'm good at it, but it's, I just, like, you know, but I'd rather be doing something else.
Understood. You know, and if there's time to think about what else you could do for money, that's a whole other conversation, but... You know, artists need to sustain themselves, but you have to remain in the artist brain, too, and be like, okay, what am I doing for my art today? How am I creating art today? And some days it'll be writing your stuff. Some days it'll be networking. Some days it'll be making that scary phone call. It's writing those applications. But you must get yourself in there. Like, you need to be touching it and doing it.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you. Very helpful. I think I'm going to start. Now I can. I'm a little bit less fearful of contacting people.
Good. Just be professional and be respectful, but be persistent. You know, patiently persistent works too.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Great.
Thank
you. Awesome. Thank you. I really love your book. Really great.
Thank you.
Yeah,
it's a lot in there, but just do little by little and it'll come to be. All right, is there anyone else live who needs a little work today? And I'm gonna address quickly the questions that came in via email. Okay, someone asked me about ageism. How do you deal with ageism and trying to make a transition? You know, now that I'm at a certain age myself, I would like to believe that ageism is not real, but it is. You know, I like to turn the idea of ageism. The challenge is to remain relevant. So, you know, someone might judge you out by an age or what you look like, but if you can demonstrate that you've kept up with the times or you've kept up with the technology or you're coming back to something after a certain amount of time and you know what's going on in the industry, you know, that can be reflected in the cover letter, that can be reflected in an interview. But it's there. And sometimes you need to reinvent. Sometimes you're just not going, you know, people are going to be working longer than ever. If you're talking about corporate-wise, you know, they're 50 years old, they start getting worried that you're getting old, and by 55, you're too expensive, and they can call you old. I mean, it's tough. But that then becomes the perfect opportunity to reinvent and make your own rules. And one of the most important things is to look for examples of people older than you who have made changes or have succeeded at something late in life. And all you have to do is believe it's possible. You know, you don't have to believe it's probable, but you have to believe it's possible. So that's what I'm going to say about ageism. Someone asked, you know, 10 years to retirement, how do you transition? 10 years to retirement, you got loads of time. You have time to volunteer, you have time to try things, you have time to experiment, you have time to research and network with people, and I think I said a lot of things on the line here today about transitioning into something that answers that question. And finally, the last question that came in was about how do you tease out purpose, how do you apply it at work? Purpose is chapter 5, and now what? 90 Days to New Life Direction, one of my favorite topics to talk about. And basically, it's important to say that purpose isn't a bumper sticker. Like, you don't write a purpose statement. You don't, you know, it's not catchy and cute. You don't invent your purpose. Your purpose finds you. And you usually find it by looking at your past, looking at your life, and looking at just who you naturally are. And you heard someone say, you know, I realized what I was doing is not who I am. You know, where we find alignment and purpose and happiness is when we can be fully who we are, even at work. So let me use my own example of purpose to answer this person's question. How do you apply it at work? I've always been someone who caused change. Like, you're not going to be around me without changing something. It might be your hairstyle, but I'm going to, you know, you're going to go, ooh, you did that, I'm going to do that. And sometimes it's very annoying. when I first started out in coaching, I could not keep a website more than 3 months because the minute I put it out, people copied it, and then I had to come up with a new one. So, you know, that's one aspect of it. But the other aspect was always, you know, not by even doing anything, just not being able to tolerate the status quo or being more courageous to try something that caused other people to change or to do something. So it took a long time to figure that out. I figured it out in retrospect while I was already a coach and realized my whole acting attempt, although semi-successful but not fully successful, was really about change. I wanted people to see me on stage, see a play, be in a musical, see it, experience it, and want to move something in their life. I wanted people to be disturbed and to think and to be uncomfortable in the best of possible ways so that they would move on something in their own lives. And so it kind of makes sense of what I do now, right? So if you have discovered some sense of purpose for yourself, which exercises in Chapter 4 and 5 will get you to, how do you apply it at work is, even if you're in a job where you can't fully do that thing or live it, I call it turning up the volume. You've got to turn up the volume on it. I like to give the example of when, back a long time ago, I won't say how long, how many years ago, I was on the Oprah show. And they were so happy with me that they were like, we're going to have you back. And you know what it means to be back on the Oprah show multiple times. It would be a fabulous thing. So they teased me for 2 years. Oh, we're going to have you back. Oh, yeah, we want you to. Oh, no, that's not going to work. And my life became an obsession of whether I was going to be on Oprah or not. And then when it started to be painful, I realized, okay, I'm totally off purpose here. What is my purpose? My purpose is to cause change. I can cause change every day in every scenario if I allow that to be. So I turned up the volume on that. That meant, you know, paying more attention around me. I could have a conversation with the mailman and he might see something differently because of whatever we talked about. And that doesn't mean I go around teaching people and coaching people without their permission, just so everybody knows. But that's just the effect that I have. Whatever your purpose is, it's an effect that you have. It's the ripple effect. You don't even do anything. It just is. So how you apply it is you just allow it more. You just be that more and realize you don't have to do much. You just have to honor that this is your ripple effect. So the personal assets, teasing out the purpose, read chapter 4 and 5, how do you apply it at work? You just start turning up the volume on it. And I've seen people release from their job and into something new just by focusing there without actually doing the linear work of writing a resume and cover letter and networking and da-da-da, just shifting their attention to what they cause and doing more of it, and they have found themselves move through, like, okay, now you're not in sales, we want you in marketing, and that's exactly where the person wanted to go. I'm speaking quickly because I do have to end this call. I need to go take care of my mom. So she'll be all right, but she had surgery a couple of days ago, and now apparently my brother needs to take her to the hospital for some stabilization, but she's all right. But I'm just throwing my hands up because 2 calls in 2 weeks, I've had to end short for people who need me. So I don't know what that all means. I thought we were out of Mercury retrograde and all those things, but we'll just keep going with it. I hope everyone who's listening is safe, not flooded, that you and your loved ones are okay with all the craziness going on right now. I wish you all the best. I thank you for being here. And don't forget nowwhatcoaching.com to stay in touch about anything we're doing here, the next free calls. And if you're a coach and you want to get trained in this, October 11th, we're starting, so contact us right away. Thank you all for being here. Good night.
Good night.